Chodesh, the new month, another Adar, we were zocher to this year. So we were discussing some interesting technical issues, and perhaps I was being a little over technical last week. So I think I would just like to sum up this Lahalam in a simple way, what we spoke about next week, and then move on. And so number one, we spoke about doorbells. Doorbells, all bells for that matter, any bell on Shabbos. What is the din of a bell? So we divide into two categories. There's the electronic or electric bells, which have no heta whatsoever. There's no way to use them. And there's mechanical bells. Mechanical bells is a separate issue of making noise on Shabbos using an instrument, because if it's without an instrument, you can sing, you can whistle. But making music with an instrument or making rhythmic noise with an instrument, or any noise, if it's with an instrument that is miyuchad l'kach, is also on Shabbos. And therefore, using bells which are made to make a sound, that's their purpose, they're also to use. However, there's a very big difference between the electronic and the mechanical ones. The electronic ones are always also the mechanical one, shas atzak. In case of dire need, they can be used. An example we gave is if a person would be locked out of his house and he needs a place to sleep, cannot stay in the streets overnight. So if the only way to get his family's attention to wake them in order to unlock the door that he's been locked out of would be by using a bell or door knocker or something like that, just regular knocking would not work. So then that would be permitted, as I said, in extenuating circumstances. For example, when I saw this example, I thought of it, is if you have a yard in front of a house and it's locked out of the yard, but from the yard there's a spring that goes all the way into the house. So you can scream and shout and bang on the gate, but no one's going to hear you because the house is much further up. But if you pull on the string pulls a series of bells that are inside the house people would then hear you. So you get an example that knocking and screaming and shouting is not going to help, but ringing the bell would help. So in extenuating circumstances, one can be made go on using a mechanical bell. That was the difference. That was the issue of bells. We spoke about electronic and mechanical. We did mention also that if a person presses an electronic, mechanical, or more an electronic bell on Shabbos, and before you let go, the question applies to many issues of Shabbos, where you have a spring-loaded switch, and therefore there's two parts. The one is where you put an effort in order to activate the switch, and the other one is where you let go, and the spring then deactivates the circuit. Now, activating and deactivating could both be Isurim, could be Mavir and Machavir, making a fire and extinguishing a fire, could be Boin and Soiser. It's different. It's not so simple that you can allow the switch to be released if, for example, a person pressed it inadvertently for Shogeg, and before he let go, he realized that it's Shabbos, are you allowed to let go? And basically we said when it comes to a bell, we're going to say that a person may let go of the bell on Shabbos. We gave other examples. If a person had to go and make an emergency phone call in a phone booth, which has a spring-loaded floor, and when you go into the phone booth and you stand on the floor, the light goes on. So at the time of making the call, you can do what you need to do because it's a sakonas nefesh. So you run into the phone booth, you stand on the floor, and you make the phone call, and you call the emergency services. But now that he's done the phone call, so can he leave the phone booth? If obviously he is needed for the emergency, so you do what you have to do. But if there's someone else taking care of it, all your job was to make the phone call, could be you may not leave the phone booth. We'll discuss it in the future in Mitzvah Hashem when we get to that section of emergencies. But that's where the discussion came out. That's the sum of bells. Again, electronic bells are also, mechanical bells are also, but have a heter in a case of dire need. And if you press a bell and remembered before you let go that it was Shabbos, you're still going to let you let go. That's summed up on bells. The second issue we spoke about elevators. Elevators are complicated because of the way they work and how many sensors they have and the various changes in the electronic system based on the amount of people inside the elevator. And therefore, we summed it up into three main shittas of how to look at elevators. We had Rav Nissen Karelis and Rav Osner who held that elevators should not be used in Shabbos irrelevant of how they work. It is not a Shabbos-like thing to go into an elevator. could be that in extenuating circumstances, like a person's in hospital and he cannot walk the stairs, and obviously if it's a constipation, then you take a person to the next floor to the operating theatre. You don't say, well, please get out of your bed and walk the stairs, we're not taking you in the elevator. But Sakonis the Fascist is not a problem, and also if you're in a hospital where there's Goisha orderlies that are doing this thing, there will be a whole different story, because Amir La'akum is mutter when you're dealing with a Chayla Sheva Sakona, even if it's not Sakonis the Fascist, but the person who they're dealing with is that ill, that he is bedridden, so then we allow the Rabbanon, so therefore even if the Goy would press the button for the Yid, we would say that it is permissible for such a sick person. So in hospitals, it's a whole different story. The question is more when a person is not in the situation of a hospital and is relying on the Shabbos elevator. So as I said, there are opinions that hold we don't use Shabbos elevators at all. The other opinion, the other extreme, is that as long as it is made in a way that conforms with all the necessary details, that there's no melachos involved, then the Shabbos elevator can be used. But a person has to be familiar with the instructions and how to use it. Therefore, if you're going to rely on those opinions, you have to know that no touching any buttons, no pressing anything. Also, when you get into when the door opens and you get into the elevator, you have to make sure that you are not in the doorway once the buzz goes off, because what happens is that the proper Shabbos elevator will have all the circuitry disconnected during the time that it's stationary and the doors open at the floor. And then before it moves off, so then the electronics comes back on again and has an electronic eye to see that no one's standing in the door and gets caught in the door and various things like that. And therefore, at that moment, no more touching, no more moving, no more going in and no more going out once the buzz comes on, because that is a warning for the systems now going into place, and you don't want to move anything. And then you can ride the elevator to the wherever you need to go and get out when you need to get out. That's the opinion of those who are matir, and there is an opinion that you can only take an elevator on the way up and not on the way down, but that depends also on the mechanism. There are those who hold it. In a case where an elevator is connected to the local, is built in a way that when it runs on empty, or rather when it runs down, and therefore it is not powering up a motor in order to move the weight, but rather it is slowing down and using the brakes, and therefore the motor is now being turned of its own volition and not powered in, so you can now reverse the chain of electricity. So you can use the weight of the elevator to actually generate it when the elevator needs to be pulled, so you consume electricity in order to pull the elevator in the direction you need it. Now when there's too much weight in one side, so then the motor, all it does is that it stops it from going and not pulls it. In that case, you're actually going to be generating electricity. And if you're generating electricity, so your weight is generating electricity on Shabbos, that can cause that any of the lights within the vicinity of the elevator that are connected to the same electrical circuit will actually be burning from electricity that you made, and therefore there will be asur. I don't know how common that is. I have no practical knowledge on whether this is a common feature in elevators that they generate and when they run down on with a load. Second of all, those who are matir generally are matir in that direction as well. They said that is insignificant, it's not necessary to take into account. But those are the three basic shittas. Again, there are those who are oyser and those who are matir, and those who are matir, oyser, you've got to know to keep to the rules and the regulations, not touching anything and not pressing any button, making sure you're not in the doorway when the buzz goes off. And the bottom line is that if a person needs to use a Shabbos elevator, A, you can consult your local rabbinical authority whether he is of opinion whether you may or may not use it. And even then, one of the things he's going to be asking is who gives the heksha to the system, who built it and how does it work, before he's going to tell you. Even though it's Rabbanim who are matir elevators, there are different types of systems out there, and some will be mutter, some will be asur. My wife's grandmother used to live in Shari Chesed, and they had an elevator in the building with a Shabbos mode installed in it, and they asked Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to look at it and give his opinion, and he looked at it and he said that it does not fulfill all the requirements, and he gave him a list of things that they need to change and have halted. And when they have that, he checked it again and gave instructions. So there was, I know that as a Maisa Shehoya, which Rav Zalman was Mati, did he say only older people, not younger? I don't know. But I know that he was consulted and gave his action to the lift in the building. And the third thing we mentioned was an escalator. An escalator is a lot more simple than an elevator because it doesn't have so many sensors and all the rest. It's running at all times. You getting on it doesn't really affect anything. And therefore, if it is running and it is running at full speed, meaning running at normal speed, then it is fine to get on an elevator, an escalator on Shabbos. Not overly common because escalators are usually in airports and in shopping centers or two places would not really spend one's time on Shabbos, but things can happen. People can be delayed and stuck in an airport over Shabbos. So an escalator can be used. But again, if it has sensors, there are some escalators, especially nowadays where people have become much more energy consumption conscious and they're worried about the environment. So the escalators go into slow motion mode or even turn totally off when there's no one on them. And as you come close, sensor picks up the movement sensor picks up the arrival of a human being and then activates the escalator and the escalator now goes into full running mode. So that would be also to use such a escalator on Shabbos because that then would be activating it and turning it on. That was just to sum up again in case I wasn't clear last week. Try to simplify it into smaller parts. Okay. Now a couple of other interesting halachas. Electronic doors, whether they are operated by a motion sensor or by a weight sensor. You don't see those so many more today, but there used to be that there was a pad that you walked over and would pick up the fact that a person has stepped on it, which was very annoying to children. Because the door usually was not sensitive enough to the weight of a child, so you couldn't get in if you, unless an adult came along. But there were different systems, but if they are electronic or electric, then obviously it would be also not Shabbos. But if it was purely mechanical, where the weight of a person, if you step on a weight-sensitive pad, and that would then put into system a pulleys, springs, and who knows what, and had no electric, Tucker would be mooted to use such an automatic door. I am not aware of any such doors in our day and age. Being electronics have taken over all those things, but perhaps they did in some places. A code lock. A code lock on a door, as long as it's mechanical, is no problem. It's Shabbos. If it's electric or electronic, as is sometimes found in hotel rooms, then they are problematic. Make sure before Shabbos, we find an alternative. Closed circuit television, as in security cameras, which have become more and more common. The big place where it was discussed was in the old city. For security reasons, they are installed in just about every street and every alleyway. And there are metal detectors and cameras when you go to a koisel. Can one go there on Shabbos? Again, there are those who assert it and put a blanket isser on anything that will affect something that runs on electricity and change various circuitry as you go past. The more common shita is that as long as there's nothing being recorded, it is not stored in the digital storage, so therefore it doesn't have permanence to it. It's just a image on a screen that someone can watch, then it would be mutter, and obviously it mustn't be something that will cause any bells to go off. We'll discuss it when it comes to metal detectors. But when it comes to cameras, we're going to say that you can walk down the street and not have to worry about cameras, but generally they're thinking about it as I'm saying it. I'm not so sure if this, when the Shmir Shabbos wrote it, that probably was the case. That Shalayim, they had active people sitting watching the screens, so therefore they weren't storing it. Most cameras today in the streets, for example, a lot of stores today have cameras built into their stores that watch the wares in the street because they put goods outside the store on the sidewalk and also inside the store they're worried about shoplifting and therefore there's a lot of recording that actually is going on. And then if something is missing, they will check the recording to see because they don't have the manpower to sit and watch the screen 24/7 to see if someone does something. But rather when something's missing, then they will rewind and check it. I don't know what to say because Shmir Shabbos says, and if there's a recording going on, then it would be more of a problem. And that might be much more common today than it was then. What he does say, the Shmir Shabbos does say, is that you don't have to make it your business to find out how every camera works and where every camera is. Probably based on the fact that it is Ksiv Hashem, it's Kayan, it's also written in a format that cannot be read as is. It's just a digital imprint on a disk, which later can be deciphered as a graphic image on a screen, and then you can work out what's going on, but essentially it's not written down as a writing or as a drawing. It's a digital image that's stored. Based on that, could be that that's why they're more mako. In other words, if you know that it works this way and you know that it's here, then try avoid it. But you don't have to make it your business to find out exactly where every camera is and how every camera works. What we do bring up, I see, is that if you have a camera that is motion sensitive, there's some cameras instead of just recording at all times, when there's no movement, they switch off. They go to standby mode, and when there's motion, so then they click on again. So whether it's a thief or a cat or just a passerby, then they'll come on again. Those ones are more problematic. They'll be like walking past a light on Shabbos, which we'll see in a moment what the din will be. So if you have a light and a motion sensitive activated light, then one should avoid walking there. Remember, I threw Rob in Switzerland said this halacha over once many years ago, and I asked him afterwards, why is it not misasik? And he answered, smiling, young man, go ask your father now, he'll tell you the increases that you test what the difference between the secretion and misasik. But essentially what the question is, that sometimes there are a malacha to be also on Shabbos has to be what we call malachas machshemes, something that you're conscious of what you're doing. So a shoygeg is you're conscious what you're doing, but you just forgot that either it's also you forgot that it's Shabbos, but you know what you're doing. When you're not conscious of what you're doing, or it's done as a Kavashem is covering, or the various cases that we've spoken about in Shabbos and Machshin Tzukim Gufa, whatever the case may be, so then it's not considered Melech HaMashemis, you're not conscious of the halach, of the action. Therefore, if you walk on the street, and then someone taps on you and says, you know, you stepped on an ant, killing an ant, Shabbos is Asur, you haven't done any Gisur, because that was not that you saw an ant and stepped on. You didn't see the ant, and therefore you didn't do anything. So when you walk down the street and the light goes on, you didn't know it was there, you knew nothing about it, and now it happened, that's called misasik. But the second time you walk down the street, you know it's there. Now you're not paying attention, and you've forgotten that it's Shabbos, you've forgotten that it's there. That's a separate story. But the first time you go down the street, the zikr not a problem. So that will be the difference, and therefore we're going to say that walking down the street where you know there is a motion sensor that's going to set up a light, or even going up a staircase in some of the buildings, that would be a problem on Segresha and would be also to activate such a light in Shabbos. If a goy went past the light, then you may follow him, even though it might be that he will leave the area before you do and you continue walking in that area and it stays on a little bit longer. You don't have to worry about that. Once he has turned it on, so then you may follow him and stay in front of the light. As long as you're not mechaving, then you definitely want it to stay on, and therefore you walk in circles and circles around the light that you can't do. But you can continue on your way and pass it without a problem. If a person is walking down the street and light goes on, you may continue walking, even though once you leave the field of motion of the camera, it's going to go off again. That is not an issue. You may continue walking. We have a discussion when there's light already. So when you add existing light, so maybe that's considered as a situation from a nichale that you don't really need what the result of the results, what happens. Therefore, if you're in a place where there's sufficient light and now you walk past and another light comes on, that just makes it brighter, but there was light beforehand, you might have thought that this would be mutter. No, we say that even in such cases, it's also because situation from a nichale, although it drops from a Doraisa to Rabbanon, it's still a Rabbanon, it's still us. Metal detectors essentially are problematic because lights go on and they beep when the person is carrying metal, and if the person has to go through a metal detector on Shabbos, the best way to do it is to ascertain that you are not carrying any metal on you whatsoever. Make sure that you've emptied all your pockets and taken off all your buckles and watches and glasses, whatever it is, and obviously then nothing will happen when you go through. But in places where you know that the lights have been disabled and the sound will be disabled, and all that you're dealing with is a what's it called? It's called, you have a gauge. There's a gauge that the security guard looks at, and he can see based on the gauge how much the needle moves, how much metal has been detected, So most poskim hold that that's not a problem in Shabbos. Maximum, that's just a change in existing flow, but it's not a switching. It's not a causing of flow, but it's not a causing of a sound or a light to come on. And in the old city, when people go to the coastal, they have to go to the metal detectors in order to get to the coastal plaza. They are all done in that way that they have the sound, the beeping, and the lights have been disabled for Shabbos. All they have is a gauge to look at, and that would, according to most poskim, be mutter. If a person wants to be machmir, then remember that the way to do it is to make sure that you have no metal whatsoever on you, and then it doesn't affect the metal. If there's a handheld metal detector installed, when you go into the airport, they put the handheld metal detector over a person's body. So then obviously you have to make sure that it's not one of those that beeps, which is very hard to find. And if you need to go through such a check and you can't avoid having a beep going off because it's not up to you to decide what type of metal detector they're using, then make sure that you're not carrying metal on you, so nothing should be. Doors that are operated by magnetic cards or fingerprints or electronic codes or things like that are also to use in Shabbos. If a person is in such a situation and he had such a door and he left it open at all times, so you have to unlock it and lock it, he just left it open and inadvertently the door got closed and now a person is stuck and there's necessity for him to get through that doorway, either he has to leave the room or he has to let in the room, whatever the case may be, but if it's great necessity, so then it's mutter for him to give a remez to a goy that he needs to get into his room and not use the card or whatever it is to get into his room. Extenuating circumstances will allow him to do a remiza to a goy. So too, if a person goes to a hotel for Shabbos, one has to pay attention that hotels, modern hotels, have all sorts of electronic gadgets in the rooms. It's not just that you have an electronic key to the door, but they very often have sensors in the door and some of the windows. Some hotels have, I have been to a hotel like that for Shabbos, where you open the window and the air conditioning, and therefore they will only let you have air conditioning at the door if it is closed or the door is connected to Chai Shah. I was once in a hotel where they have a very nice control panel in the room, and Erev Shabbos, everything goes off. Two little candles light up telling you that they've turned it on Shabbos mode, and therefore the air conditioning sits in Shabbos mode, the windows in Shabbos mode, doors in Shabbos mode, everything's manual, nothing of a problem. The problem was that sometime during the night, there was a power cut, and when the power came on again, it returned to weekday mode and not Shabbos mode. We woke up on Shabbos morning, where the light, or the Shabbos light of the control panel had gone off, and it looked like back to weekday mode. And suddenly I realized that there's a sensor in the room, a sensor in the window, a sensor in the door. How do you get out of your room? How do you do anything? We were stuck. The mice, they called the goy, and about an hour later, everything settled. The goy went, put it back into Shabbos mode. But one should be aware of these things, that hotels, even hotels in Ashkocha, have these problems. One should be aware that, you know, something can go wrong. If there is a alarm sounding, someone has a car alarm or a house alarm in his store or something like that, and has set off and is now, the siren is giving everybody a headache. Essentially, you know, you can't turn it off on Shabbos, but when it comes to a pain in the neck, pain in the head, pain in the ears, it's disturbing people. That's for Makom Tzar. So again, we will say that for Makom Tzar, you can give a remez to a goy in order to turn off the siren. But what one should note is that even though you can tell a goy, not tell a goy, you can hint to a goy to do something about the noise, make sure you do not hint to him that he has to reset the system. That he goes to, he gets hold of the key and turns it off, but you don't tell him to turn it on again and set it up. That you have no, he can switch it off, but he cannot reset it. And others add that if the noise is disturbing someone who is ill, and this person is what we call a chole she'en v'sakana, he is ill enough that he is